What a beautiful weekend. The marriage seminar was outstanding. We just had a really, really good time. A lot of great comments this morning about that. And how many of you grabbed a hold of the passion that I had this morning about what God was speaking to us about? Yeah. Yeah, it's just a reality that you and I, you know, we're born again. We love Jesus with all our heart. We do so much good. But God just wants us to just press into him a little bit more. And it's not just about what we're doing. It's about recognizing him and what he's called us to be and who he calls himself, and that we can become personal with him and allow the situations of life to not rule the way we serve God, the way we recognize and relate with God. So, and that's why that I believe the Holy Spirit asked me to develop and to teach what we're teaching on Sunday night, preparing my life for wholeness. And tonight we're going to talk about freedom from hurt. We've all been there. And let me just say it to you. It'll happen again. And but what do you do? How do you handle it? What does the Word of God tell us? How we can be free even though hurt comes after us, hurt attacks us, how we handle that, how we dig into the Word and get freedom. Because there are times we'll walk in life and all of a sudden, boom, something happens and we're just like, whoa, devastation. And what do you do? And a lot of times because we're born again, we're wise, we're spiritually mature, you know, we try to do our best, but still it gets in your craw. It just really creates some things, and it causes difficulty in other areas of your life. And so what I'm trying to do is help us prepare each day for wholeness. So remember, the word wholeness in Scripture means where my feelings and emotions have absolute ability to feel God's heart with no hindrance clouding his truth. I'm going to read that again. We'll read it every single week. Where my feelings and emotions have absolute ability to feel God's heart in the situation I'm in, to know what he's saying, know the truth, what he has said, what he has proclaimed you are in your call, in your business, your job, wherever, with no hindrance clouding the truth. Notice that when I wrote this, I went into Hebrew and Greek, and then I went to the dictionary, and I really tried to put something together here that covers the whole aspect of how we can really see what wholeness is. So it's literally seeing God's heart. It's simply seeing God's heart. So the gift of my emotions, which emotions are a gift, they're not bad, because emotions came from God, were created in the image and likeness of God. So the gift of my emotions was given to me so I can feel the depths of the heart of God, which brings truth. Luke 10:19, our theme scripture, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. All right, so in essence, what scripture is saying that hurt arrives and we have a choice. But when we understand God's heart and what he's given us in the midst of what we're going through, and but his heart on that, his heart, then we can stop hurt from guiding us, from causing us to make choices that are not godly. How many of you, don't raise your hand, and have allowed hurt at times in your life through the years, and from that hurt, you said or did something that maybe you regretted later, you know? And because hurt is designed by the enemy to remove you from a position to know God's heart, to put you into a place that will rob you of God's blessings. Okay? So let's talk about how to get free from hurt. Remember last time together I gave you some steps. And today I want to show you by using the first step in how to get free. So remember the first step I gave you last week was if you want to be free from hurt, take up the shield of faith. And remember last week that I gave you those steps and I just talked about a little bit, but let's kind of dig into this. Let's find out the shield of faith, what it is, and what God says in Scripture about the shield of faith and God's heart in the midst of our faith. So let's be honest that we all have been hurt, and hurt has brought destruction in areas of our life. And we can all basically say, yeah, that's happened to me. Because we're all in this together. And the enemy will always do that. So there's not a person in this house or anybody I've ever met that haven't faced hurt in their life. So Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the shield of faith is responsible for the quenching of the fiery darts that bring hurt. So again, Satan will attack you first of all in your emotions. So always remember that he'll attack you in your emotions. The mind, your mind, is the battleground. You must win your battles in the soul area. The battle, the spiritual battle, has been won. You've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. You are born again. You're going to heaven. God has given you victory and power over serpents and scorpions. Because the battle is won, we are to move into that authority. All right, so follow the thought. Your soul is your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler. Your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler. All right, so those three reside in your soul. So Scripture tells us again, take up the shield of faith. And let me tell you, in a simple way, taking up the shield of faith, many of us picture, and you pick it up and you do that. But actually, taking up the shield of faith is taking up the word of God. The shield of faith is taking up the word of God. And when you take it up, you're taking it up as truth. What God's word says is truth. Remember, I used this in the first message in this series, but true, some things are going on. Okay, you can't deny that there's, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer that Christ has overcome the world. All right, so in this world, you will have this. True, that will happen. True, people will be mean. True, situations will happen. True, you will suffer loss of people passing away that you love dearly. True, sickness is in this world and people that you love die of sicknesses. But the truth says that's the shield of faith. And the truth, the word of God, then you must understand, is what guides your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler. Now Jesus wept. See, we're not talking about, and Scripture's not talking about, that in certain situations that you don't cry about something, even us men, that you're, that hurt, that sorrow, that mourning is there, your emotions rise up. But again, as we find throughout Scripture, it says, yes, you will mourn, but understand there's a spirit of sorrow that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, wants to, in your suffering of loss, get in your craw of your emotions, your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler, where you begin walking in fear of sickness, walking in you know, and choosing wrong and not doing things that God has asked you to do. You know, God, because you're concerned, it's not going to happen to me because so-and-so. All right? So taking up the shield of faith is taking up the word of God. And let me just say it this way. You've heard hundreds of teachers, pastors say this. No word, no faith. No word, no shield. So the fiery darts will hit you. And now your battle will be greater in your soul. It'll be greater in your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler. So what some people call faith is not faith at all. False faith, let me just give you this. Okay, this is from Pastor Gary, all right? This isn't, you know, turn to Ecclesiastes, whatever, and this is what it says. But me, false faith, we can find scripture that produces this thought that I'm going to give you, but let me just give it to you. False faith, it's just high expectation off the wrong information. False faith is high expectation off the wrong information. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, I just know God's going to do this? How do they know that God's going to do this? Well, I know God's going to do this and God's going to cause that person. How do you know that that's what God's going to do? If Scripture says that, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to do this with so-and-so or do this. So false faith is high expectation on wrong information, and we blame it on God. Well, we don't do that, but people blame it on God. And then they get hurt, and their emotions overwhelm them, and then they quit jobs, they get into depression, they stop going to church, they, you know, all the different things because their emotions overrule, but they thought they were living in faith, but it wasn't faith built from the word of God, it's high expectations on wrong information. Everyone following that? Okay? And so that's easy to do. It really is, because we know God is good. Amen? And he's good, and God will do good things. But we have to recognize we are in this world, and he's given us the ability to quench the fiery darts by raising the shield of faith, which is the word of God. So again, no word, no faith. So the shield of faith is the word of God. Now, Luke 10:19, Jesus said again, I give you authority to trample on the ability of the devil, and nothing by any means will be able to hurt you. So my shield of faith is based on what God has said. Your shield of faith is what God has had to say. So, but listen very closely. If the shield is about what God says about you, who you are by what Christ did, then when you listen to what others say about you, okay, when you turn around and you're listening to what they said, you're putting your shield down. So literally, when you hear things that are not equivalent with the Word of God, that's not true. Okay? That's not true. And so, but the reality is we want people to like us. We want people to enjoy us. And it's funny how a lot of people, especially when you're leading, and many of you in this class, you've led somewhere, either on a business, CEO, whatever that you have been, supervisor, all that. People have literally thought they knew what you were thinking and why you did what you did. And they didn't. So they say things, and all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. But what you got to do is, if you know that you were leading with prayer, supplication, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, developing the plans, all the different things, your family as a mom, you know, sometimes as a mom or dad, parents, grandparents might disagree with you how you're raising, you know, all. But if you knew and know that in Scripture you've studied, you've made some real quality decisions, and some people don't agree with you, you have to understand that you got your decision not based on your feelings. You got your decision based on the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And when you did, the things that people say, and they might think they're doing well, but you know, that could hurt you. But you raise the shield of faith, and you know who you are. Because the Word said who you were. The Word told you how to be that parent the way you're that parent, with a personality that God gave you. And you're in line with Scripture. So you follow the thought. Our emotions can just keep going down and down a spiral instead of stopping with the shield and say, no, the Word of God says, I'm called of God. God blessed me with my children. And that, you see how we can begin to speak those things, and that's how you raise the shield of faith. So here lies our responsibility. I need to get in the Bible and personally find out what God says about me. Yes, going to church, you learn. Going to OSL, you learn. Going to Bible studies, women, men, marriage conference, all that, you learn. Okay. And there's a whole conglomerate of things that we do. And that's what I was talking about this morning, of really examining our salvation, examining how we lead our lives so that we can climb up and really be on top of the things in our life. And so if we want to walk in wholeness, not allowing for hurt, we raise the shield of faith, which is the Word of God. The Bible says, my people are cut off or destroyed because of lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. Because of lack of knowledge. So again, we have to, because, you know, people, not people that are in the Word, not people that are really committed and faithful in church, but quite a few believers, Christians, will go around and think, Well, is that saying that I'm stupid and I don't know the word like Jerry does, or, you know, and we can go around and name, you know, Richard, all the different people that know the word of God, that are wise in life. Basically, I'm looking out. Everybody here is that. Okay? So it's not talking about that you're not smart. It's talking about that the Bible is not first place in decisions. Because sometimes we can be too smart in our decisions. As a pastor, you know, in the years I've been in ministry, there are things that I did 30 years ago that I don't do now. Doesn't mean that I was sinning or doing anything wrong, but at that time, that was the leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, the Holy Spirit's leading me this way. This is how, when I was younger, because I worked a lot with young people and stuff, you know, I did things differently. Right, and but if I did all those things I did with young people, because I ran youth camps, all different things, a lot of the adults, I don't want to do that, you know. But here's the point: is what's God saying to you in the Word of God? And when difficult times happen, and hurt wants to go after you, and bring destruction in areas of your life, how do you handle that? Is it that you have a meeting, you know, I got to tell them that they're wrong and I'm right? No, you go to the Word and you figure out what God said, who you are. And the title of this series is Preparing, that we prepare. We were talking about the World Series and how great. Richard thought it was one of the greatest World Series he's ever seen. Okay. Do you think those guys practice at all and prepared for these games? I mean, they just, okay. And it's the same thing. It's, we have to prepare. It's not like, you know, someone comes after you, I got to go in the Word and find out what it says. No, you begin to go in the Word and you prepare yourself for wholeness so that, watch this, because if you don't know the Word, you don't have a shield of faith. So that when something happens, you're already prepared, and you go, oh, boom. That's not going to bring destruction in my life, no matter what they said. Okay, let's go on. So how can you hold up your shield if you don't know what God says about you? So when we listen to what others say about us, we are putting our shield down. All right? So when we put more value on other people's opinions than God's, we put our shield down. Because your shield of faith comes from the Word. Let me say it another way. If you listen to what others say, it becomes your shield, and it won't protect you from Satan's fiery darts. Those darts will go right through into your soul. And you will get devastated and hurt. So you don't want to put down what God says about you and pick up what others say about you. The missiles of hurt will devastate you. So here's a question. Okay, Pastor, I get it. So now what do I do? All right, the answer is, it's really not something you do. There's action. Faith without works is dead, right? But something Jesus has already finished for you. And we have to recognize, and I'm going to bring you to a term, teleos, I taught on about 7 years ago on Easter. But we need to recognize that what God did for and in you is finished. Okay? No matter what people say or what people do, it's finished. And you rise up in the spiritual battle and put up the shield of faith of who you are. You don't prove to the other person what the Word God says about you. You prove to yourself in preparation, who you are. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, then God raises up a standard. Remember that scripture? Okay. It works for you. So your flesh will question this. And so I wrote down quite a few questions here. And so let me ask the questions and I'll answer them quickly. All right, it's being recorded, so you can listen to it again. What about my sins? The Word says they're already been forgiven. Past, present, and future. But what do? We raise up the shield of faith. And when we do sin, we confess them, 1 John 1:9, before the Lord. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of that. So you don't have to carry that hurt because before you made a wrong decision, you did something wrong, you sinned. I'm going to do a series on witnessing in end of February and March of next year. And what I'm going to talk about is, why are we so surprised that sinners sin? Why are we so surprised that liars lie? Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's go. We can go on down the list of sins. Why are we surprised by that when Jesus Christ is not Lord? Well, but they're saved and they're in church and they're. Why are we surprised when people back away and follow their hurt and back away and don't go according to the Word of God? And when the enemy comes in, they raise up the shield of faith, which is the Word of God, but they're not in the Word of God. They're not journaling. They're not doing all these things. Why would we be surprised? So me as a pastor, I've talked to a lot of people that have done horrendous things. But I didn't go like this in my office and go, oh, I can't believe you did that. I know why they did that. Okay, let's go on. I could go for a while there. Okay, what about my sinful nature, Scripture talks about? Well, the Bible also talks about you have a new nature where sin is not the natural. Sinning is not natural for you because you're born again. Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's the next one. What about the memory of my sins? Because that's my biggest thing. I can't get over what I did. Well, the Word says your sins have been removed by the blood of Christ and thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. Yeah, but I remember. God doesn't. It has zero penalty in the spirit realm. Yes, the penalty of sin and things that we do, it has recompense with people. If you hurt or did something to other people, yes, but with God, there is forgiveness. And actually, the enemy's power of destruction is depowered. That's what happens in the spirit realm. That's what your salvation brings. When you have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, it depowers the power of the enemy. Here's the next one. What about what the Bible calls the old man? Well, Scripture says that he's dead and doesn't exist any longer. The old man. What about those stubborn habit patterns and temptations? A little bit longer answer, but I wrote this down. Christ already triumphed over every form of temptation without sinning. and you became the righteousness of God in Christ. You are sharing in his victory. Isn't that awesome? Well, how will other people see me? Probably as you were. But it doesn't matter as long as you see yourself as Christ sees you. People won't forget. People will bring up, they'll forget all the great things you did this past year, but they'll bring up 10 years ago what you did or what you didn't do. Because they've allowed hurt to bring destruction. And because of that, then they don't like the destruction as we don't either, and they want to push it off, but they don't have power to push that off. It's the power of Christ that removes that. Okay, here's the big question. How then can I be perfect? Scripture tells you and me, in Christ you already are. You are a teleos Christian. Or as Scripture would say, teleos man. But ladies, let's understand that's for both men and women. So let me tell you, in the big question, we're talking about, you know, hurt. We're talking about how to literally get freedom from hurt. And freedom from hurt means that it's not going to come at you again. Freedom from hurt means that the hurt that came after you doesn't destroy you, doesn't bring terrible things in your life because we wallow in our messes. So what is the teleos person? The teleos man knows that his victory comes from letting Christ live through him. We're talking about being freedom from hurt. And so the story of the teleos person, as I give you the fullness of it, put yourself in the place. The teleos man doesn't use self-defeating phrases like, well, I'm not perfect. He chooses to live in Christ's perfection and then speaks affirming language to himself and to others. I learned this years ago, and I used to correct my children when they were younger by affirming them. And how I affirmed them and say, these are the choices we need to make. If you're sorry about this, and then do a 180 and you don't do it again, then I want to affirm to you, God forgives you, and we forgive you. And right now, no, you're staying home. You're grounded for a day or whatever, punishment or however we did that. And I didn't like grounding. I didn't like anything like that because I felt like it was holding, you know. I didn't like timeout. I didn't like all that stuff. I wanted to take care of it because that's what Jesus did. He said, it is finished. It's done. So in discipline with my children, I took care of it. Basically, immediately, my wife did also. And so we explained to them and affirmed them, you know, Ryan or Jill, you're amazing. You're so gifted. We love you so much because this isn't who you are. And I would use a term, Klauses don't do that. That's not our culture. Our culture is the kingdom of God. Now, I used other words when they were smaller, but I'm talking to adults here, so you can see, you know, what I was doing. So I affirmed them of who they are like God affirms us who we are. The teleos man brings his body, soul, and mind and spirit in subjection to Christ. The word. No word, no faith. Your whole life should conform to one thing. God has already created you perfect in Christ. I'm teleos. Our job is to start looking like who we are rather than who we were. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That was 2 Corinthians 5:21. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 3. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the thing, your soul, on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Isn't that awesome? That scripture just explained what I explained to you earlier. Very simplistic. Raising the shield of faith. How do you get freedom from hurt? Raise the shield of faith. What the Word of God says, who you are. So, before you can become by living the teleos man, the man or woman that God called you to be, your thinking must change. You must see yourself in a new light and see yourself in exactly the way God sees you. Now watch this. Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." So you weren't here to blow it. Even though some Christians think they've blown it. And they've created, you know, in their life the unpardonable sin. Well, you know what the unpardonable sin is? Rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord. That can't be forgiven. Everything else can. Those that reject Christ go to hell. Okay? And I don't say that happily. As Christ does, I want everyone born again. Ephesians 1:4 says again, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet in the nations." He was talking to the prophet. So in that reality, we have to understand that God chose us, called us for the foundation of the world, and he knew us in our mother's womb. Ephesians 1:11 NIV says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestinated according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will," or what we could do, with the purpose of his word. Shield of faith. So what does teleos actually mean when translated? It means complete, finished, perfection. Complete, finished, and perfection. Now Jesus used this word on the cross. John 19:30. That's John 19:30. He said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He said, "Teleos." Okay, he really didn't say that. He used the literal language. And we'll show you that in a moment. So the teleos man is finished, is the finished, complete man or woman. The teleos man is the finished, complete man or woman who mirrors the perfection of Christ. In every part of his or her life, who then sets an example for generations to follow. That's you. You set that example because you are finished, complete, and perfected in him. And when you know what he says, then you walk in it, and then people see that, and generations that follow you, your children, your grandchildren, will call Jesus Christ Lord and will do great things for the kingdom of God, like you do today. So God sees you as an amazing person. It's so funny, every time I say it to us, the church, I'm so proud of you. You're so amazing. I always get someone up to me and says, Pastor, you don't know what I did this past week. Or Pastor, you really don't know me, do you? I'll tell them, no, maybe I don't know you that well. But I know what Christ did for you. Are you born again? Yeah. There you go. I'm proud of you. You're amazing. Called of God. He thinks of you so highly that he began investing in you since before your birth. He began investing in you before the creation of the world. Isn't that cool? Think about that. Wow. That's the God that we serve. Some have said it this way, Jesus had you personally in mind when he hung on the cross. I can't argue with that. God's love for you extends all the way to the foundation of the universe. In other words, you were not an accident. I mean, you know, my brother, when I was younger, would always say, you know, Mom and Dad didn't plan you. They had your sister, they had me, and 3 years later, 3.5 years later, they had you. You were a mistake. Well, I won't tell you what I said to him. That was before Christ. Anyways, but God planned, designed, and specifically purposed your destiny. So the question, has anyone ever said to you, you know, you look kind of like your father, or you look like your mom? It's a principle in the Word. In Genesis 1:27 and 1 Corinthians 11:7, Genesis 1:27 and 1 Corinthians 11:7, we are told God made us in his image. The Greek word for image is icon. Icon. So the definition of that is you are a direct reflection and representation, an icon of your Creator. That's so cool to me. That's why I could just raise the Word of God and that knowledge and just say in a godly way, shut up. Sorry if you don't like that word. There's no children in here. But I know some of you parents, we told our kids not to say that word. But the reality is we have to really understand, man, that's so stupid to say that. You know? People say, well, you don't care. That's so dumb. I know all of you. You do. You love people. You have passion for the things of God. People say stuff to you. Well, you know, if you were a good boss or if you were, oh, really? You know, just like a fly, just flick it. You know, we were in the meeting yesterday and a fly landed on Terry's elbow, and I'm a fly catcher, so I go up to it like that, catch it, and I throw it outside. That's, as I knew I was going to speak on this tonight, when I did that, usually, but there were a couple people outside, some kids, and I didn't want them to see me go, you know, throw it on the ground and kill the fly, so I just let the fly go. But that's really the fiery darts and the attack of the enemy. When people say things that are not true, they're not real, they think they know you and how you are, and they say things, and, well, you're just, and you know that, you know, just like I did. Throw it away. Shield of faith. Well, Pastor, that's easier, you know, that's a lot harder. No, it's easier said than done. No, it's easy when you know the heart of God. That's what your emotions are for. When hurt wants to take your soul this way, then you go to the heart of God and say, wow, okay, Father, thank you. I know you love me. And you know, at times people might say things and there might be a little truth in it. That's when you go to the heart of God and say, he'll teach you. And you at times can go up to the person later and say, you know what? You were right in that. I apologize. Please forgive me. Well, you can't, whatever you do, you can't make someone do something. And you just realize, I know who I am. I'm in perfection. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 says this, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My soul knows very well. So we have to get to a place of realizing that our thinker, our chooser, and our feeler lines up with our soul knows it well. Amen? Amen. Well, let me conclude with just a little bit here. All right. In the book of Genesis, after God's creative days, the fifth day, the Father responded with a Hebrew word, tav, meaning he saw that it was tav, good. But when on the sixth day the Father made man, he said it this way, good. Good. Tav, tav. So of all creation, here's my word, you're gooder. Amen? And that's what it's about. So understanding how God sees you and values you is the key to how you see and value yourself. And then you will be able to raise up your child the same way, your children and grandchildren. And then, why? Because you show them, you raise up the shield of faith, which is the Word of God, the truth of the Word. So knowing this, you will be free from the power of hurt. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. And I know it's a busy weekend, but God is so good. His word is so real. Let this week just be a week that you bask in what you've learned and what God has said to you, the times of you getting in the Word of God. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak because he's speaking. Let's all stand. And again, I'm proud of you. I think you're pretty cool. You're awesome, every one of you. And I love to joke with a lot of people and hang out with a lot of people. But in all reality and seriousness, man, I love the people in this house. I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And it's awesome. And the way God feels about you, I can't even reach that. It's so huge. In Jesus' name, blessings upon every home represented here. Blessings upon the things that we do. Prosper every family here. Direct them. Just excite them in the things that you have planned. Let them see revelation of your plans for them. And literally let every one of us see your heart towards us this week. Let this week be a great one, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.